I have the happy privilege now of bringing one of America's best talk show hosts in the whole country, Tom Joyner. Tom, it's great to have you back. I know you've been on vacation. And let me tell the folks out there who are standing by that Tom Joyner was down at the Hollywood Airport in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Just it left about an hour before the mass shooting occurred down there. So he's right up on top of all the news coming out of the shooting down at Fort Lauderdale. He's going to comment today, I think, on Meryl Streep and about hacking. And every time, all I've heard lately is about Russian hacking. Now, if you want to get the things straightened out here, we've got the man that can put you right on the ground floor of the truth here, so I know you're going to enjoy the commentary of Tom Joyner. And let me tell you, there is no better commentator, analyzer of news anywhere in America than Tom Joyner. He's one of the best, there's no doubt about that whatsoever. So Tom Joyner, we need people like you to keep us pointed in the true direction the country is going. So I'm anxious to hear what's happening in America.
Well, liberal America is consumed with hate for Donald Trump, and they're seeking ways to undermine his presidency. Trump continues to seek jobs for the American people. The man's been working tirelessly to turn our country back from the last 8 years of Barack Obama's policies. While Obama golfs, Trump has been working. The liberal hate is not so much aimed at Trump, the man, as it is the fear that he will follow through on promises to the American people to turn back the liberal tide that threatens to swamp us. Merry Christmas is back in our language. God is revered again. The moral decline of our country is on the rebound under Trump, and that drives liberal America crazy. They were on a roll. They had us divided against one another. Deviancy was in vogue. God was an outsider. Common sense was under attack. And lies and corruption were upon us at the highest level of our government. Trump is a great threat to set back the liberal agenda. And they will not rest until they have destroyed his presidency. If that means destroying America as well, they appear not to be terribly concerned about it. Well, the Oscars and the Golden Globe Awards are given out to celebrate people whose world and talents revolve around their ability to pretend to be other people. The actors involved are, for the most part, neurotic individuals who possess little self-esteem in private, but who can project another false image in front of the camera. Last night at the Golden Globe Awards, Meryl Streep received a Lifetime Achievement Award. The woman is great at imitating the life of the characters she plays in the movies, but in her real life, she is a far-left liberal who was devastated when her candidate for president was defeated. Streep came on stage in a position of power and proceeded to denigrate our president-elect. She accused Trump of using his power position to attack a reporter and said that no one should use a power position to denigrate someone who was not present to defend themselves. Yet that is exactly what Meryl Streep did to Donald Trump last night. For his part, Trump has said many times that he was not mocking the physical ailments of the reporter. And there are now several videos showing Trump using those same gyrations before and after that occasion. But Streep decided that she was better able to determine what Trump thought than the man himself. I have a far left list of Hollywood celebrities that never see a dollar of my money going to support their causes or careers. There is no reasoning with those on the far left. Streep never mentioned the four people in Chicago who tortured a mentally challenged man for hours, or any of the lies and corruption that was exposed from John Podesta's computer involving Hillary Clinton and the devious methods of the Democratic National Committee. Over my 54 broadcast career years, I've met and interviewed many of these so-called Hollywood stars. Their knowledge is a mile wide and a half inch deep. They are surrounded by like-minded people, and Streep knew that she was preaching to the choir last night. Predictably, the choir gave her a loud ovation. Meryl Streep, who considers Trump to be a sexist, never mentioned Democrats Bill Clinton or Anthony Weiner in her rant last night, two of the most celebrated sexists in our world. It's useless to present facts to a Hollywood liberal. The best we can do is to ignore their rants and refuse to buy tickets to their make-believe world. Their chosen profession is to entertain an audience, not to lecture us with far-left opinions. Take that money that you'd spend for a Meryl Streep performance and use it to help those in need. The same is true for other actors who believe that their opinions are important to the paying customer. By the way, Donald Trump is appointing his son-in-law to an advisory position in the Trump administration. His son-in-law is Jewish. And so we're left to wonder why this man who has been labeled a racist, a sexist, a homophobe demon would embrace a Jewish advisor. Could the far left possibly be wrong about Trump and conservatives? Last Friday, Ann and I left our cruise ship for the Fort Lauderdale Airport early in the morning. We had a direct flight to Raleigh that was scheduled to leave at 10:40. Because we had to get up at 5:30 a.m. in order to make that flight, we considered changing it to a flight through Atlanta that would leave around 1:30 p.m. We finally decided to keep our earlier flight, and our Southwest Airlines plane departed Fort Lauderdale around 11 a.m. Less than 2 hours later, after we flew away from the Fort Lauderdale airport, a lone gunman went on a shooting spree there, killing 5 innocent people and wounding 8 others. Had we taken the later flight, or if our flight had been further delayed by the weather, we would have been stranded at the airport, exposed to the danger. There, but for the grace of God, would we have been. The Fort Lauderdale gunman had a history of mental illness. He had told the police in Anchorage, Alaska, that he had voices in his head exposing him to ISIS propaganda. Still, that was not enough for authorities to ferret this man out of the general population. We continue to see these mass killings that are excused as mental disorders, but this gunman was sane enough to shoot each victim in the head. Again and again, we learn after a shooting that relatives were aware of mental problems in the shooter. And in some cases, we hear that the authorities had been warned about the mental instability of the shooter. Yet nothing is done until people are dead. More has to be done to prevent these kind of attacks. Now, like most of you, I had hoped that with the election over, we could move on to other topics. But it is apparent that the liberal community intends to undermine a Trump presidency as long as we tolerate it. They seem to be astonished that Russia might be hacking into computers in America. They raise the issue as if Hillary Clinton lost to Donald Trump because of Russian hacking. They know better, but they see it as a better excuse for her loss than the fact that the woman was totally dishonest, corrupt to her core, and as cold as a frozen fish. There was no outrage when the United States interfered in Iran's foreign affairs. These same liberal Democrats raised no issues when Ted Kennedy secretly asked the Russians to interfere in our election in the 80s. They failed to show concern when Barack Obama interfered in the election of Israel, trying to unseat Benjamin Netanyahu. Obama did not just hack into computers. He actually sent operatives into the sovereign state of Israel to guide opposition efforts to defeat the Israeli prime minister. And he spent hundreds of thousands of our U.S. taxpayer dollars interfering with that election. Nobody has suggested that Russia sent teams of operatives into America to interfere with our election. Now, I never doubted that Russia was hacking American computers. They've done it for years, just as have the Chinese, the North Koreans, the Iranians, and every other country with the technical ability to hack in. The United States has been hacking into foreign government computers for years as well. No one should condone the practice of hacking into computers, and I certainly do not. But it's a fact of life, and pretending outrage in the liberal camp is foolishness. It also should come as no surprise that Vladimir Putin preferred Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton. The woman could never be trusted to honor her word, and therefore Putin felt that he could not deal with her. Of course, Putin himself is not the most trustworthy individual either, and a Trump president will have to trust but verify everything that Putin says. Let's be honest with each other. Russia is going to seek ways to get one up on America, and America is seeking ways to get one up on Russia. It's a cat and mouse game. And rather than pretend to be outraged, we should be improving our ability to prevent foreign countries, including Russia, from being able to penetrate our cyber defenses. This is not all that complicated when we look at the facts. Rather than liberal democratic whining, WikiLeaks was fed the damaging emails from Clinton's campaign manager, John Podesta's computer, and they in turn made them public. Did they do it to hurt Clinton? Of course they did. But the Russians nor WikiLeaks had any ability to harm her election chances except for the exposure of those emails. What liberals want us to overlook is that the Russians nor anybody else put those emails on Podesta's computer. It was Hillary's inner circle. No one has contested the fact that those emails were true. The weak protests are only that the truth was exposed to the American people and that it might have caused some people not to vote for Hillary Clinton. In other words, they wanted to keep the truth from the voters and gain votes from that concealment. Now, we should be celebrating the fact that Podesta's emails became public knowledge at the same time as we bemoan the fact that hacking into computers has become the new norm. Without those emails from Podesta's computer that exposed the lies and corruption of Clinton and her campaign, Americans would have never known the depth of those lies and that corruption. Both the Democrats and the Republicans were the subjects of hacking, but the Republican committee did a great job in blocking the hacking attempts. On the other hand, the Democratic National Committee and John Podesta were easily exposed. Podesta created a unique password for his computer. The password was the word, password. An 8-year-old child could easily have hacked into Podesta's computer. Liberal Democrats want to blame the exposure of their emails rather than what the emails told the American people about their lies and corruptions. Think about that for a moment. They want you to be angry at the hacker rather than the damning evidence you received from the hacking. Hillary Clinton and the Democratic National Committee had denied any wrongdoing, and they would never have been caught had it not been for their carelessness. In the case of Hillary Clinton, she was just as careless with national secrets. She used a private server that was wide open to hackers. When caught, Hillary had lawyers with no top secret clearance go through her emails and destroy any damaging evidence. More than 30,000 emails were destroyed. She was determined that the American people would never see the evidence of her corruption. So much so that she did not just erase the emails. She had them destroyed by bleach. Most of us use computers. Have any of you ever had anything on your computer that was so damning that you had to go to the trouble and expense of bleaching it away? There is no doubt in my mind that the exposure of the truth in those liberal Democrat emails hurt Clinton's chances of election. When the truth came out that proved her dishonesty and corruption, it had to have cost her some votes. But whose fault was that? In any event, those emails did not sway the election results away from Clinton. She was beaten soundly, not just a marginal loss. Barack and Michelle Obama bet on the wrong horse. But then they had no real option other than to pretend to embrace Clinton, a woman that both of them despise. In order to save what was left of Obama's called, so-called legacy. It's well known in Washington that the Clintons and the Obamas have hated one another from the start. But these four people joined together to put Hillary into the White House to cover up all of their excesses. There was no question in their minds that Hillary had the election in the bag. After all, the mainstream media was trying to tip the vote to Hillary. The National Democratic Committee was working with the media to give Clinton the advantage over Trump. Liberal billionaires were pouring millions into Clinton's campaign, and the Hollywood Fantasy Brigade was all over the media threatening to leave the country if Trump won. Add to that the dog and pony show that Barack and Michelle Obama trotted out throughout the country, where they proclaimed Hillary Clinton to be the smartest and most qualified presidential candidate in history. That was a far cry from when Obama was running against Hillary and said at that time that she was unqualified and dishonest. Apparently, the Obamas wanted the American people to believe that Hillary became more qualified and trustworthy between 2008 and 2016. In fact, as Podesta's emails showed us, Hillary Clinton was far less qualified and trustworthy. Her decision to use a private email server showed amazing arrogance and stupidity. But it was the only way that Clinton could keep all of the evidence of her dishonesty from public view. Sure enough, when confronted with an FBI investigation, Hillary hired lawyers and a computer expert to find and totally destroy anything on her computer that might be evidence against her. Apparently, there was a lot of that evidence, since more than 30,000 of her emails were bleached away. That has been a lifelong pattern for both Bill and Hillary Clinton. Control and destroy evidence against them. It had worked well on endless scandals for all of their lives, until their lies and denials ran headlong into Monica Lewinsky and her blue dress. Bill Clinton looked directly into the cameras and told you, me, and the American people a huge lie. He said that he had not had sex with that woman, Ms. Lewinsky, and both Clintons thought that they had again dodged the bullet. And then something totally unexpected happened. Lewinsky's blue dress, with Bill Clinton's DNA all over it, was produced. For the first time, the Clintons had been caught with their collective pants down. Still, liberal Democrats huddled around them for protection. Bill was impeached, but the Democrats had the majority in Congress, and they moved to save their fair-haired boy. His lies meant nothing to people like Elijah Cummings, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, and the like, because they have been living by lies themselves. So let's put this Russian hacking issue into perspective. The evidence clearly shows that Hillary Clinton was responsible for her own defeat in November, not Russia nor any other outside influence. Liberal Democrats knew her to be a terribly flawed candidate, but they were willing to overlook that to keep power. For their arrogance, they lost it all. So what to do now? Democratic leaders Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi have announced their intention to undermine a Trump presidency. Since they no longer are assured of a wild-eyed liberal Supreme Court justice, They want to leave the vacant court seat open rather than confirm someone who will not march to the left upon their orders. The Democratic Party, under Schumer and Pelosi, have shown their intent to prevent any changes to their liberal agenda by the new president. They are perfectly willing to make the country suffer further in order to regain their power and the greed that power satisfies. Let's be clear. There is no way to throw roadblocks into Trump's way without hurting the American people. We hear complaints about the Arab world and their thousands of years of hate and revenge killings. But the two political parties in the United States are just as guilty. When does the revenge stop? Each party blames the other. But the truth is that both parties and their devoted followers are guilty. It's time for all patriotic Americans to unite behind their president. Forget about yesterday. Tomorrow is what's important. The world is an increasingly dangerous place, and a divided America is a vulnerable America. Dissent is healthy. Object at will. But when decisions are finally made, get behind the effort. That applies especially to the fantasy world of Hollywood celebrities. Some of them have planned a protest activity on the day of Trump's inauguration. The man has not taken one executive action yet as president. And already, these people who exist through make-believe characters are condemning him. Why all the hate and intolerance from the left? Because their liberal agenda had been on a roll in our country. They had made God irrelevant. They had created an air of political correctness that actually banned words from our language. And they had made it offensive to think differently from liberals, offensive to embrace the American flag, and offensive to ignore the obvious dangers of illegal immigration and the terrorists among them. Liberal professors in our schools and universities had free rein to indoctrinate rather than educate our children. In liberal thinking, it was permissible for an American president to travel around the world, apologizing for our country's perceived transgressions. A president who divided our people by race, gender, and ethnicity. A president who publicly stated that should the political winds shift, he would side with Islam, not with America. That same president bowed to Islam and refused to acknowledge the dangers of Islamic extremism. Still, liberal America saw no reason for concern. Even when, in his final days as president, Barack Obama showed his true colors in freeing more prisoners from our jails than other presidents combined, even though the prisoners in Guantanamo Bay had been freed down to the worst of the worst, Obama continued to release them in his final days. At least a third of those released by Obama have returned to the battlefield to kill Americans. Suddenly, on November 8, 2016, their fantasy world came tumbling down unexpectedly. Their champagne was on ice. The balloons were ready to drop. Their deceitful candidate had begun to lead a celebration. And then the American people stepped up to stop the parade. Mainstream reporters cried on television as the results were coming in that showed Hillary Clinton was not only not a shoo-in, but a defeated candidate. There was great anguish and gnashing of teeth in the make-believe world of liberalism. The left, who had been demanding tolerance from the right over Hillary's election, were suddenly intolerant about Trump's election. They cursed, they threatened, they set out to undermine the president-elect. That activity is still in full swing today. Liberals are the most intolerant people on the face of this earth. Folks, this is America's one last chance to reverse the devilish policies of Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and liberal America. We have one last chance to cancel out all of his dictatorial executive actions and to drive a stake through the heart of Obamacare. It was known from the beginning that there was no guarantee that we could keep our doctor or that we could keep our medical plans. They knew from the beginning that families would not save an average of $2,500 a year, and that, in fact, the cost to the average family would increase dramatically. And it has. Liberal Democrats knew from the beginning that Obamacare would never work. They knew that by 2017, it would implode upon itself. But their plan all along was universal health care, whereby the government is controlled, and in our health care, they take complete control. Hillary tried to get this done when her husband was president, but she failed miserably. How better to accomplish that goal than to put into place a system of health care that would prove to be unsustainable, and then have in place a president in Hillary Clinton who would be able to institute a national health care system? What stopped all of that was the terribly flawed candidate they ran against, Donald Trump. She lost big, and they lost the opportunity to put government in charge of our health care. Today, the liberal Democrats are trying to keep Obamacare in place. But many of these Democratic politicians are up for re-election soon, and the public has shown that their defense of Obamacare will be their undoing, and so I expect some of them are going to side with Trump in taking Obamacare out. In any event, Obamacare will be a thing of the past. Hardcore liberals complain that Trump has no plan ready to replace Obamacare. But that plan is being perfected, and it would be in place before Obamacare is actually abandoned. Health care is not something that should be thrown together hurriedly, and so the critics are wrong. There were a few good things contained in Obamacare, such as coverage for pre-existing conditions, allowing health insurance to be sold over state lines, as well as allowing someone who leaves a job to take their health care plan with them. Now, I'm not sure why children need to remain on their parents' plan until they're 26. It seems to me that 22 would be the correct age, but that's a minor detail. These things will be incorporated into the new health care system that replaces Obamacare. But the rest of Obamacare's failures will be discarded. Just take a look at the sorry state of our government-run Veterans Administration health care system. That is the debacle that liberal Democrats desperately want for all of us. Control our health care, and they control the people. Washington, D.C., is a political cesspool of corruption, not just infested with corrupt Democrats, but Republicans as well. Career politicians have patiently put into place a system designed to keep their power so long as they choose. They enacted a seniority system whereby the oldest and most feeble-minded among them gets to head the parade. Average, ordinary Americans have no real say in politics. We've elected new blood into office, only to see them consigned to a back seat in Congress on Capitol Hill. Totally ineffective. The senior career politicians, like Nancy Pelosi and Mitch McConnell, ensure that no real changes will be made. That's why the election of a candidate, man or woman, who promises to drain the swamp, gives us hope and plants fear in the hearts of elected officials. Donald Trump is unique. He has a massive ego. But that same ego will drive him to succeed. And if he succeeds, America wins. The cabinet he's assembling is filled with people who are wealthy and have no reason to seek power to become wealthy. Trump nor his cabinet, as proposed, are in debt to special interests. They are free to make real changes, and real changes are necessary if we are to survive as a free and prosperous nation. The new president must move quickly to seal our borders and ensure that we allow nobody into our country who means us harm or who will be a drain on our resources. We must end the nonsensical act of paying benefits to illegal immigrants. I was just on the Honduran island of Roatan. Unlike the mainland of Honduras, Roatan is a beautiful tropical island where many Americans live. To be sure, the island has pockets of poverty, but there is a united effort by that population to keep drugs off of the island, and that means their crime rate is low. Honduras is in close proximity to Mexico, El Salvador, and Guatemala. The people on the mainland of Honduras work for as little as a dollar a day. Even on Roatan, a government job pays $400 a month. Poverty is all around them. While their countries have the natural resources to be prosperous for all of its people, the corrupt government officials skim the money away from the average citizen. And that's why we see such a push to get into the United States by any means necessary. It is why mothers and fathers turn their children over to traffickers who they hope will get them into our country, from where the kids can then demand to be reunited with their families. Not in their home countries, but in our country, and in receipt of the benefits that we provide. We literally pay immigrants to risk their lives to get into the United States, and those payments are forever. That has to stop. There is no reason why the American worker should see their hard-earned tax money used to support immigrants here legally or illegally. Try moving to Mexico. You won't get in unless you show that you're financially able to support yourself. And if you sneak into Mexico, you go to prison. Mexico's immigration laws are far stronger than ours. Upon entering Mexico, you must register with their government, and you're not allowed to roam freely around the country. If your address changes, you must immediately inform the government of Mexico. There are absolutely no benefits paid by the Mexican government to immigrants into that country. Nothing. Contrast those immigration laws to ours, where we provide money and benefits to legal and illegal immigrants. We have no system to track these people in our country. They roam freely. Why on earth would a poor person not do whatever it takes to get across our border? And as those numbers grow, our economy is further weakened. Our military power has suffered under the Obama presidency. We remain free only so long as we remain strong. One of the first things that Trump must do is strengthen our military preparedness and ensure that our veterans get the health care they have earned. We must not wait another 4 years before taking action to eliminate fraud in our voting system. Dead people can't vote, and yet somebody votes for them. Busing people to the polls who would otherwise not vote or who have no idea who they're voting for must end. The practice of traveling from state to state to cast multiple votes must be stopped, and there should be stiffer penalties for those who go to the polls under assumed names. Worldwide terrorism must be destroyed. A real coalition of countries that are not only willing but able to help to eliminate the terrorists. The 60-country coalition that Obama has boasted of was a joke, and terrorism is not a joke. Jobs that pay enough to raise a family have to be created here in the United States. Our people need to be trained early in life for the jobs of tomorrow. Sadly, the manufacturing jobs, so plentiful in my youth, will never return in great numbers. Healthcare workers, plumbers, welders, electricians, those are the kind of positions that will always be needed. Mastering computer skills assures one of a good job in the future. Trade schools are just as valuable in most cases as college and less costly. A college degree no longer means a meaningful job. A liberal arts degree, for instance, may make somebody feel good about themselves, but the financial rewards are less than spectacular. If a hand-to-mouth existence is in your plans, it makes no difference whether or not you pursue education. But then, don't complain about income inequality. There is much to be done, and it begins on January 20th when our 45th president takes office. I say our 45th president because Donald Trump is now our incoming president. To undermine him is to undermine our country. It is time to stop seeking revenge for real or perceived wrongs against a past president by taking steps yourself against a new president. The greatest obstacle to our country's progress may well be the two dominant political parties who seek to impose pain upon us in order to regain power for themselves and their party. I am neither a Republican nor a Democrat. I'm an independent. And I see the dangers presented to us by both Democrats and Republicans. Politics has become a very nasty business, and we have to demand changes in how that business is run. Lastly, Americans of every race, creed, or color must see the atrocious behavior of four black Chicago teens for what it is. Hate. Hate because of the color of a person's skin. Two black men and two black sisters kidnapped a mentally challenged white man when one of the sisters had befriended him. They tortured him for hours. They cut him. They cursed him. They made him drink water from the toilet. These heinous individuals called his mother to demand money for his return. In the process, these racial hate mongers shouted expletives at Donald Trump and made their victims salute black people. Their hate was obvious, and they were dumb enough to put the video of their hate on the internet. All four are in jail with no bond. Under Barack Obama, our justice system was suspended. He corrupted the FBI and the Justice Department with leaders like Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch. Both showed their racial preferences in office. Any action by a white person, civilian or policeman, against a black person brought immediate response from the Justice Department. That was true even when the black person was a criminal and there was no evidence of injustice. On the other hand, overt actions by blacks against whites were disregarded by the Justice Department. Even in this latest Chicago incident of racial hatred, the Justice Department under Loretta Lynch remained silent. It was the Chicago police who took action against the four subhumans who tortured this mentally challenged white man. Does anyone listening believe that had this been four white people torturing a black man, mentally challenged or not, that there would not have been swift action from Obama and from Loretta Lynch? The usual characters like Sharpton and Jackson and Black Lives Matter would have rushed to the scene for camera time. And yet, Jackson lives in Chicago and has been eerily silent. These racist propagandists have no desire to see a level playing field. They wanted and they received a racially biased Justice Department for the past 8 years. Justice in America should be colorblind. The past is the past. The future is where our concern must focus. There has been more than enough injustice in our world from every race, creed, and color. It is time to get over it and live for today. I don't want a Justice Department biased against black Americans. I don't want one biased against white Americans. We need and we deserve justice that is blind to color. There is no reason for all black Americans to suffer the consequences of the actions of those four black thugs in Chicago any more than white Americans should be blamed for the actions of white supremacists like Dylann Roof. Until we all learn that lesson, we are doomed to a life of injustice for all. Let me take a moment to wish all of our listeners a happy new year, and my hope that 2017 will see a return to civility, tolerance, and prosperity for all Americans. God gave us a beautiful planet to live on, and patriots gave America freedom and liberty. It's up to each of us to defend and protect it. And we can start by rejecting the hate mongers among us, regardless of the color of their skin. United we stand, divided we fall. Carl?
Well, Lincoln said a house divided against itself would not stand, and he's right. I think you've touched on a nerve here in America that we all need to stand back and take a long look at it. And you hit the nerve on the head when you said justice is blind and should be blind in America. I feel the same way. I feel that you're a great broadcaster, that you're one of the great assets of WTSB and Tom Joyner. I hope you continue to stand up for freedom and liberty as long as you live.
The only thing I know to do, Carl, I've been at this now for 54 years in broadcasting, radio and television, and I've learned a lot along the way. I am amazed myself at the ability that God gave me to put my words together and to express them. That's not something that, while I worked at it, it's not something that I got by happenstance. And to sit back and allow things to happen without speaking up about them is just simply something I cannot do. And so I hope that our listeners do appreciate the time that we take, both WTSB and me and my commentaries and research, to get truth out to Americans, because we heard Meryl Streep last night telling the press, the dishonest press, that they had to keep right on spreading their propaganda. That's exactly what she said. We're going to get the truth only if we dig deep and search for it, and that's why I keep doing these commentaries. I will never purposely lie or mislead our listeners. And if I ever find that I have made a mistake, I'll immediately retract it. But I'm just so proud to lend my efforts to WTSB, which is a local radio station. You don't try to be a station in Raleigh or Greensboro, or you don't try to be a station for Washington, D.C. You try to serve your local community, and I'm proud to be a part of that service.
Amen. And like the good lady said here, Grace Bowie, the ground is level at the foot of the cross.
Amen. And God bless America.